listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is Thursday, September 20th. I'm Michael Sterling.
You are, you sexy bastard.
Right, well,
how are
you? Thank you. Yeah. Considering the
Look at you. You're all scruffy. You're dressed in black.
Well, that's something new. Huh?
You could be your own boy band. Do you know that?
And I have been on occasion.
Yeah. Your own boy band.
I'm the only one walking in that direction. Right? Thank you, Paul. Nice to see you.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
You know, before we get into our little chatter here this morning, this afternoon, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent, agents, as well as actors when casting a project. And to learn more about Breakdown Services, simply visit them at breakdownexpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge performingartslive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar. And Michael,
yes,
with us today via telephone from New York is filmmaker Emily Sheskin, who's a member of New York Women in Film and Television, and who's also currently raising funds for a fascinating documentary. This is really interesting. I stumbled across this on the internet. It's wonderful. It's called There She Is, mm-hmm. and we'll let Emily tell us about it about that film in just a few minutes.
And excuse me, in our studio, Paul, today as well, you know this, are the stars of the much anticipated new musical from Broadway and Los Angeles producers David Elser and Peter Schneider, titled Just in Love, opening tomorrow, Friday, September 21st, at Hollywood's revered Celebration Theater. Adam Huss and Tyler Ledon are here. Welcome, gentlemen.
Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Well, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on a day like today.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Grateful to have both of them in
Absolutely.
Here. I'm feeling tremendously old and homely today, Michael.
You are?
I am feeling that way, or are you just confirming it to be true?
Well, you know what? I don't think I should even answer that.
Thank you. You're still at me for the boy band comment.
I am. And you'll pay for it for the next 45 minutes. So, what's up with you? I haven't seen you all week.
Seen you all week either. Yeah. I am watching the funniest thing on the internet.
What's
that? I have to tell you about this. It's a web series. I've been following it every day. I watch a new episode every day. It's called the Mitt Romney Presidential Campaign.
Oh, yeah.
It's killing me.
Yeah.
You've got to catch this thing. It's absolutely hysterical. Yeah. Every day it's something new and just beyond funny. It's like The Onion, but real.
So. I've already made a terrible remark about the ladies on The View.
Oh, did he?
Saying that they were so very sharp tongued.
Really?
And, of course, now The View has invited him on as a guest, and he's accepted.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so
if he
only knows what he's in for.
Oh, Mitt.
Right?
Oh, Mittens. Poor, poor Mittens. What are you going to do?
I know.
I'm not politically, you know, I don't want to, I know the show is not about politics, so I'm just getting my little dig in.
It's okay.
I understand. Check my website.
I understand. We've got so much show today, Paul.
Yes,
we do. I think that we've got this wonderful.
Let's jump right into it.
Yeah,
Let's jump right into our lovely
guest in New York.
Let's go back to the East Coast. Graduate of New York University's Tisch School of the Arts with a BFA in Film and Television. She is an editor with Network, Post House, Advertising Agency, Nonprofit, and Documentary Experience. She has her work showcased in magazines such as Creativity and Spin, and worked on award-winning documentaries and television specials. Please welcome Emily Sheskin. Hey, Emily. Thank you so much for taking a moment from your incredibly busy life and chatting with us about your project. We're delighted to have you.
No, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about it.
Let's jump right into it, because it's really an astounding documentary. I just saw the little clips on the internet, and I know you guys are still doing the... I just saw the trailer, I should say, because I know you guys are putting together the final product. But for our listeners, would you describe the subject matter of the documentary for There She Is?
Sure. There She Is follows two women who are competing in a plus-size pageant. For those who don't know, plus-size pageants are for women who wear a dress size 14 and up. And just for reference, Miss America is usually like a size 4. So it's for a larger, curvier woman. And on that note, the average size in the U.S. is a size 14.
Really?
So... Yeah, so when we were first starting to look into this, we were really interested to see on that note if, you know, there were pageants that represented the average American woman, and we found out that there were. So we decided to explore it further, and we met our two characters, Jenny and Allison, and so the film follows them as they prepare for competing in this pageant.
Now, so but you, I saw a little video that you did online about this, and you said in your travels and doing the preparatory work for this, you said there are other pageants that are pretty specifically themed too. What were some of the others that you mentioned?
I learned so much about pageants doing this. I didn't know anything about it. They have pageants for people who are in wheelchairs. There are for the elderly. It really is. And essentially anything you can think of, there's probably a pageant for it, which I didn't know until recently. So it's actually pretty cool. And, you know, for us, we got to talk to a lot of really interesting women all across the U.S. who shared their stories with us. And, you know, we felt that this would kind of address the larger issues of beauty and beauty standards in our culture and kind of be a conversation starter about that.
Well, it should be applauded for that, certainly. What is the website for the project, Emily?
You can go to pageantdocumentary.com, and I think you noted that we are currently raising funds to finish it, and that is an Indiegogo.com/there she is.
Okay, yeah, no, it's very interesting because I saw your Indiegogo campaign, and it was fascinating to see the differences of what you're trying to raise money for. They had a thing where they showed, like, the film before color correction and
yes.
then after color correction, and they had some audio before it had been cleaned up and afterwards. And people don't think about these things. People think it's just shooting and then editing, but there's all these
right.
elements that are time-consuming and very expensive. And it's such a fascinating subject matter. I think it really deserves some recognition.
Emily, do you remember a film several years ago called Smile?
I do not.
In fact, a Broadway
show. I'm assuming it's about a pageant.
It is. Yeah, it was done about pageants, and it was a fascinating film. It was very funny. It was humorous. But it was an interesting take, not dissimilar from what you're doing here. But I think what you're doing is so modern and actually something that's important for women. It's like America's Next Top Model, in another sense. There's always at least one young lady that's kind of considered their plus-size model, and that's a woman to be looked up to, you know, especially with young people. So with what these girls are doing, and I know it's serious, and I hope there's educational value in those beauty pageants for these ladies, because as in Miss America, that's really kind of what makes that viable, I think, on the broader scale of accepting it for the wonderful money that they put towards scholarships for these young girls who, you know, spend half their lives getting ready for that kind of a big moment. But I'm so excited to see your film, so I wish you the best of luck in this and your campaign on Indiegogo.
Thank you.
And Emily, would you throw those the websites out there again? I should have them in front of me, but I'm ill-prepared today. Would you re-mention them?
You can go to pageantdocumentary.com, where you can watch the trailer, and then to see the Indiegogo, it's indiegogo.com/there she is.
Okay. Thank you so much, Emily. We will put something on our website as well for that, and thank you for chatting with us on the air about it, and best of luck with your project.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Wow. All righty, bye-bye. Nice girl.
Yes, yes. It was very interesting. I came across it on the web, and I said, this is really something that, you know, I always like I'm a documentary fanatic. I have Netflix solely for documentaries.
Really?
Yes. Does that make me sound intelligent?
Yes.
You know, does it make me sound cultured, maybe?
Should we take a vote on that?
Cultured. I got to have something, Michael. I'm old and homely.
Minute.
I got to have something going
on. Mr. Huss over here went like this. Yeah.
Well, at least, yeah. We're old pals.
Italian,
yes.
I can pick on you.
Michael, let's jump, speaking of our in-studio guests, let's jump right into there.
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a New Yorker who has appeared in leading roles on television and in films, including NCIS, NCIS LA, CSI New York, Resurrection County, Is It Just Me, and Wannabe. However, his love of theater has been a highlight of his career the last few years, having co-starred in Mark Crowley's The Men from the Boys and Shakespeare's Measure for Measure. Please welcome one of the two stars of the new musical Just in Love, Mr. Adam Huss.
Hello.
How are you, Adam?
Just figure we'd juice it a little bit.
I like it. I'm good. I'm great.
Yeah,
happy
are you having
here.
A good time?
I am.
Yeah, you're having a good time You're on previews, I know, since, what, September 7th, I believe?
Yep, yes.
Audiences are flocking to the theater to see this, I understand, and the advance sales are amazing.
Yeah, it seems to be. My friends can't get tickets.
Yes, they cannot get tickets?
Good thing, yeah.
Wow, that's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
How long is the run scheduled for? Through
October 14th at the moment.
But yes, at the moment.
Sounds like
but it's
expansion.
A David Elzer production, you see.
I smell an expansion.
These things go on for years sometimes in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Well, good.
We're not seeing New York for Christmas.
really?
No, I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Now, your roots in theater harken back to the time of being a kid in school and their musical theater roots, right?
Yes.
For you?
Yeah, that was really the only option in my high school was, if you were going to act, was to do musical theater. So,
mm-hmm. Where'd you go to high school, Adam?
Islip, Long Island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so I got into that. I had a small role in Anything Goes, mm-hmm. and then I was bitten. So I kept going out for the plays every year, and finally senior year I was Albert Peterson in Bye Bye Birdie.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't look like Albert Peterson.
Yeah, I had powder in my hair.
Michael's got a whole history with Bye Bye Birdie. He did it with Dick Van Dyke and Jerry Van Dyke and
Sherry Lewis, all of these amazing stories for years.
If we have some time, we'll get to the story of you taking your pants off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I want to hear that
whole,
now.
That's a whole different side of Bye Bye Birdie. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Perhaps.
So for our listeners, can you give us a little synopsis without giving too much away, because we obviously want them to buy tickets, but about what the show scenario of the show?
Yeah. Basically, it's about a Hollywood star who's at the top of his, highlight of his career, and he's got a wife, and his big action movie's about to come out, and he winds up meeting this young man at a premiere, his PR person's assistant, mm-hmm. Chris, and when their eyes meet, it's love at first sight. And so then he has to figure it out if he's going to go for this real love in his life finally, or if he's going to stick with the career and the faux wife, I guess I can say that, and the facade and keep all that up or not. And mm-hmm. that's the dilemma.
And I happen to know the young lady who I believe plays your wife in the show, Carrie St. Louis.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yes, great voice, great actress.
All of that, yes, for being such a young woman. She's amazing. Out of USC. She was first runner-up in LA's Next Great Stage Star.
Oh, really?
Year, Paul.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
She's wonderful,
very
wonderful
talented
lady. So it sounds to me like this might be patterned after someone that we all know in the movies. Is that possible?
I don't know.
Or that we think we know.
Yeah, maybe. No comment.
Why is he shaking his head furiously?
I guess he didn't want to cruise down that highway.
Yes.
Well, this seems to be a good time for me to throw the information out there for how you can attend this show if you can get a ticket. I'm assuming you can for later on in the run. Performances are Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2. And for tickets, you can call 323-957-1884. That's 323-957-1884. Or visit celebrationtheater.com. Theater has the R-E spelling. Celebrationtheater.com. Purchase tickets online. Online. I'm so drunk. I'm so drunk, Michael. I've been drinking since 11.
Uh-oh.
Purchase tickets online or to view a complete schedule for further details. And the Celebration Theater is 7051B in Santa Monica Boulevard in the City of Angels.
Yeah.
So we'll put
it's
that
a
out
very,
there.
Very easy to...
A couple more times.
To find.
Is this a premiere, by the way? Is it a...
It is.
World
premiere musical.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, that's a whole nother category on the ovations. Did you know that? I always try to do a world premiere. It gives you a whole
yes,
other chance
no, I,
to win.
Yes, I realize that.
And
you know,
to win recognition.
I mentioned David Elzer earlier, who's actually sitting here in the studio with us today, folks. And not that's not why I'm mentioning him, but David is a very inventive and not only in his day-to-day business of public relations, but his his business that he's devoted so much time to.
At least that's what the cue cards say that he's holding up. At least so.
As a producer, he very, very smart man.
Very
in Los Angeles, having invested in the marvelous Wonderettes, bringing it to Los Angeles for 2 years.
Yeah, we've had a number of people from that show on our
followed by a long run with Life Could Be a Dream, not only here in Los Angeles, but also down south in Southern California. And Wonderettes went to New York, of course, and was, I think it started. Did it start in New York, David? Did not. No. It went to New York.
It's my mother's favorite show that she saw out here.
Oh, really?
Marvelous Wonderettes, yeah. Except she can never get the title right.
What did she say?
We were there. We went to see Paul. We were out there, and we saw the magical Wonderettes, and it was just wonderful. I tried to get the cast album for Terrific Wonderettes, but I couldn't get it. I asked the guy, do you have Phenomenal Wonderettes? I'm like, Mom, come on. She just can't get it right. She loved it, though. She loved it. And she's very vocal about if she doesn't like something.
Well, yes, yes.
As you've met her.
I have.
Vocal is the most polite way to put it, I think.
And that's just how she sounds, exactly.
Like Harvey Fierstein.
Yes, exactly. Harvey Fierstein.
A little prettier.
More
prettier,
Tom Waits of Brenda Vaccaro.
But with David's insight, as well as his partner, Peter Schneider, you know, they've done some amazing things together and separately, and that's why you can count on this being a great show. You know, musically, it's got, I'm sure, the score with, who has written the score here?
Lori.
Yes.
Lori Scarlett.
Lori Scarlett. Sorry, I forgot her last name. Honestly, she's done wonders with the score. Yeah. I love the songbook. Every one of the songs, like, when I hear the lyrics, every night I'm like, wow, she is really clever. Because they're just, it's very current and funny and beautiful.
Well, and you've got not only Lori, but you have Michael Matthews, who's something else here, as your director in the show, and Janet Rustin doing the choreography. And,
both amazing as well.
And as if David doesn't do enough as far as being a producer and public relations aficionado here in Los Angeles, he also co-wrote the book and the story on this show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know that,
David, is that a first for you? No.
It is.
All right. So this is something very close to your heart.
I am curious about that because I heard one little snippet of conversation from David when he was out in the lobby, and he said something along the lines of, "I promise no more changes." I think that's what I caught.
Yes, that
is he making that comment to you or to the boys?
No, it was making it to them.
Yes. To us.
Yes. But I was curious about that, and either one of you can field this, but when you're doing a world premiere and you're doing something that's the first time it's been performed, how much of that process of it in effect being maybe not necessarily built as you're doing it, but certainly being tweaked and modified, how much does that inform character for you? How much does that, is your character locked in and then you have to just sort of decide how your character would respond to that? Or do you find the character changing even in the 11th hours of the rehearsal process?
I'd say that the changes serve who the character is, I think, through and throughout, and that's what David is very great at doing, actually. But then it's a matter of working it through your process and your body. You know, if you get a change and you have to go on stage that night, it's interesting because you're working it through the choices you've made, and it may come out a little bit different. And then he's been open to us talking to him and saying, you know, that worked this way better for me. He's been pretty open about that. So, but I think it. The changes have served who, say, my character's name is Justin Rush, who Justin is, you know, through and throughout. And if anything, made the choices stronger that Justin Rush would make. And that's where they came out of the change, you know, saying David would watch it and say, I don't think he would necessarily do that. Say this, you know.
I would imagine it enriches your backstory a lot, too, when you have the, you know, the author right there.
Yeah. All your answers are right there if you need them, you know.
It astounds me how many people will do it, even after the show is established. Like, so many people are not satisfied with something in later incarnations. My friend Ted did Death of a Salesman on Broadway with in the final years of Arthur Miller's life. And Arthur Miller was changing the script.
Mm-hmm.
He was making, you know, last-minute changes to this script. It's Death of a Salesman. It's the Pulitzer Prize-winning drama of the ages, and he's making changes. And they weren't, like, topical, like, you know, pop culture references of the time changes. They were just, like, you know, regular textual changes. It just astounds me. It just really shows me that the true perfectionists are never done.
Yeah.
You know, they're never done. Always tweaking and
polishing. Whenever you get your space from that work and you look at it, even if you write, like, a poem in the morning and read it later that night, right, you're like, oh, I'm a this doesn't look right, or you changed something. So I imagine 10 years later.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. I'm a big Leonard Cohen fan, and they talk about Leonard Cohen taking 2-3 years to write a song, because he just keeps going back to it and tweaking, and then, of course, he'll do it in concert, and it'll be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You don't care for Leonard Cohen, do you?
No, it's not that I don't care for him. It's not really
my
cup of
tea. No, I can tell by your eyes.
No, I was listening. I was in deep thought, actually, about what you were saying.
Is that what it was?
You'll pay, mister.
It was deep
You're
thought?
You're going to pay.
Is that what it was? Okay. All right.
It's going to be a big bill for you at
Didn't
the end of this
like show.
Didn't
look like deep thought. Looked like...
No, it was. I was thinking about
scolding.
What you said.
Look,
no,
yeah,
not
judgmental.
At all. Me? Judgmental?
I would jump in and defend you, but I'm not a huge...
Come on, Paisan.
Like,
what are you doing?
I'm sorry.
Back
east, I want to like him. I want to.
You're doing something
I respect
that
him.
You're doing something that is obviously sounds like it's a great evening of fun and intrigue and a musical on top of it. And then you've done something more recently that called Measure for Measure, which is written by Mr. William Shakespeare out at Theater Potomacum, right?
Yeah, the World Gear Theater.
Did you do that this summer?
I did it since April. Yeah, we were up there in April rehearsing.
How'd you like working out there?
It was great. It was, I mean, it really was magical being up there. It was very removed. We felt removed from L.A. You felt like you were doing summer stock somewhere up, you know, out of the country even.
They have a huge really following great. There, don't they?
They do. They do, yeah.
Well, Ellen Gear is a big staple here, you know, with all of that.
Sure.
I think
sure.
She's really does it. The best.
She's
does
so
it well.
Yeah, she's really talented. I actually understudied a play up there, The Women of Lockerbie, the lead with her on stage, and that was a real treat working with her. And a lot of my interaction was with her, and I was the antagonist to these women who are basically making a statement about the Pan Am flight that crashed in Lockerbie. So I got to go head to head and toe to toe with her, and it was unreal. Yeah, she's so talented, and so is her sister who directed it, Melora Marshall, as well. So it's a great experience.
How big is that venue up there? Because I used to take my motorcycle through there, through Topanga Canyon. You know, it's a beautiful ride.
Yeah, great to do.
And the cars would always just be lining the thing. I said, I mean, how big is the space? It's outdoor amphitheater,
it is,
right?
Unless there's more than one venue up on the property.
No, there's a smaller, really tight, like a very tiny little theater.
Right.
But the venue's pretty big. It seats that they... It's like the seating goes up, and it's...
It's a few hundred, isn't it?
It can seat a few hundred, yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Are there backs to the seats there?
Yes.
See, there are up until you get to the top. Then it's just pavement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cement.
Not unlike the Greek theater, you know, they have tree people sometimes, too, that are not actually sitting in the seats, but are kind of hiding out in the trees.
Tree people?
Yeah.
People hide in the trees
to
watch
that?
A show.
At the Greek Theater?
No.
Yeah. Uh-huh. People that cannot get seats.
Climb trees.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. I want to do that.
Yeah.
I love
that. Well, the seats in the trees were probably more comfortable than those at the Getty Villa where I was. That's a whole other story. That's a whole other story.
My friend's in that play.
Nothing against the show. I'm talking about the seating.
No, I know. I know.
But it's just, saying. You know, just 90 minutes without a back to your chair is not a good thing for someone as old as me.
Well,
because
I'm
72
actually.
Years old.
You're 72
now?
Wow.
It's difficult.
Not good.
And you don't look it.
Let's throw
you
this out there
go
again.
Ahead.
Yeah. CelebrationTheater.com is where you're going to get tickets for Just in Love, a Celebration Theater with the RE spelling, or you can call 323-957-1884. And that's once again at the Celebration Theater, 7051B Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles. We'll put that out there once again before the hour is up.
Very nice. Well, you know, Paul.
Yes.
It's time we have our new sweepstakes.
Yes,
that we're doing.
It is. It's time again for our state-of-the-art sweepstakes, sponsored by Breakdown Services. Each week, we'll raffle off a different prize to a fan of state-of-the-arts. Prizes are furnished by Breakdown Services and include free yearly subscriptions to Casting About, great service, casting agent directories, free video uploads for actors, headshot retouching, and even a free year of unlimited submissions on Actors Access. To enter, all you have to do is like us on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/stateoftheartsLA. So shall I give the wheel a spin, Mike?
Yes, try to give it a big spin.
Okay, give it a big spin. I'm going to wind up for this one.
Wind up.
The single most pathetic sound bite we have.
What just, the hell was that?
That's our spin, Michael. All right.
All right, well,
let's
tell me.
Actually, let's do something a little more grand. There we go. Okay, ready? All yours.
And today's winner, ladies and gentlemen, is Martin Thompson from Vancouver, British Columbia. Mr. Thompson, if you're listening, you'll receive a complimentary casting agent directory. Congratulations and good luck with your career. We will alert you also through our Facebook page.
So yes, we
will. So watch out for that email.
And there's a breakdown services office in Vancouver as well.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
So, Paul, I know both of us were out and about this week. I had you went to see a play that I actually was involved with from the standpoint of handling one of the stars of the show out at the Getty Villa.
Yes.
Euripides Helen.
And I'm exaggerating, of course. They have lovely cushions on the seats there. So
yes,
I'm being
it's a gorgeous setting. We know that.
What's that?
It's a gorgeous setting.
Oh, yeah,
setting.
You don't have a better backdrop for any show in town. You got that beautiful building and the columns and everything.
So tell us what you thought of this modernized, contemporized, I should say.
I enjoyed the show. I felt that there were a couple of things that I didn't dig about it, and one of them was that I felt that they went to the same well too often with the anachronistic references. It was sort of, it is modernized, and it was, you know, I appreciated that. They're not trying to do a traditional, you know, Greek drama, and updating it is an admirable effort. But it seemed like comedically they were very reliant on topical pop culture references for these zinger lines. They did not seem organic to what was happening on stage. It was sort of like, boy, if I drop in some reference about something, you know, then we'll sort of get juiced by a little laugh and keep going from there. So that was just something that I observed that, and I said, boy, is it me? Because most of my work is in comedy. Am I being a little too, you know, aware of that? And I spoke to two or three people afterwards, and actually after the fact read it in a couple of reviews as well. So I felt like that was something that was sort of a constant in there. But
let me ask you something. Did you feel that the music of David O, who I happen to appreciate his work very much, contributed to the show?
I thought it did in the portions of with the women who were the choral three. I thought that flavored it beautifully. I thought the ambient effect that it had on it was fantastic. I did not care so much for the individual songs that the people had, because I thought that the forward movement of the show could have gone a little faster without those little breaks. But I loved it when the three women were being like a Greek chorus would be, even though the Greek chorus primarily spoken. Right. But I felt both sides of the coin on that.
I thought the acting was terrific. I don't know who your friend is.
Oops. One of the chorus girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Would that be Jamie Lake?
No, Arsene Delay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. They were marvelous. They were
and also Maxwell Caulfield was
excellent. Maxwell Caulfield,
we had
terrific.
On the show here. Yeah.
Very, very, gave a delightful, charming, funny performance.
Guy's pretty built.
Yeah.
He's pretty built. What, is he 60?
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no, he talked about it on the show. I'm not giving up anything. But he's...
Where did that snortle come
he's
from?
He's pretty... What's...
Where did that come from?
We have a Dr. Seuss character.
Oh, we do. We do. All right.
The snortle? Is that what it is?
I did. Yeah, I think.
It's either that or a Muppet. What is that?
I like Muppet better. Yeah.
No, he was great. He was great, yeah.
And Rachel Sorsa, who played Helen, I thought was spectacular, actually. I loved looking at her, and I thought she really did an amazing job.
And what was it that you saw this week?
I, on the other hand, had the good fortune of seeing The World Goes Round, The Songs of Candor and Ebb, last Friday evening, presented by the Actors Co-op.
Oh, really?
At the very beautiful Crossley Theater on the grounds of the First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood. Have you been there?
I have not.
Boys, have you been there yet?
No.
If it's a church,
terrific,
it's a safe assumption I haven't been there.
There are three very nice theaters in this complex. And it's right over there on Gower. Right?
Is that the one
Franklin.
That has the AIDS ribbon on the tower?
No.
Oh.
That's
Highland.
That's on Highland.
Oh, okay.
And
what did you say? You said Gower. I'm
Gower,
sorry.
Yes. Okay. So what could have otherwise been a simple and perhaps even tedious review of the more than not often all too familiar music of John Kander and Fred Ebb has instead been thoughtfully and cleverly reimagined by Robert Mara, one of LA's most tasteful and inventive directors. Mara has taken a diversely gifted cast of seven composed of Gina Dia. I'm going to say this incorrectly, probably. Forgive me, Gina. Maybe you can say this because you're Italian. Look at this word. Can you see this name up here? Gina.
Lola Brigida?
I have no idea. Gina
Davis?
Diaciaro.
Right
Gina Diaciaro.
That sounds good.
Let me see. Jim Diatiaro.
You also have an Italian who co-hosts the show with you.
You have a copy. Over there.
You have a copy.
I do have a copy.
You do. Yeah.
Okay. I can find it here. Where is it?
It's in the second paragraph.
The second paragraph. Gina Dacia. I don't know.
Diatiaro.
What is the... No, because the two C's is like Baccio, so the two C's is a ch sound. So Acciaro.
Diatiaro.
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 Diatiaro. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, because two C's. Yeah, because Bacci is kiss, and Bacci is B-A-C-C-I.
All right.
Yeah.
And Michael Delia, Kristen Heitman, Robert Lahr, Jeremiah Lauder, Carrie Madsen, and Sheila Victor, whose lives unfold.
It's Victor, Mike.
Is it Victor?
No, I'm kidding.
Just please. Sheila. You and I will talk after. Whose lives unfold lyrically in and around a New York coffee shop. It's brilliantly staged in an outpouring of song and movement that celebrates a new perspective of Kandra Nebb's virtues. Mara's judiciously, he stayed clear of common cliches and let each member of the cast become a star in their own beautifully performed moments, sensitively lit by Bill Kickbush, in a meticulously designed set by Andy Hammer, with rich, if not lush, musical direction by Michael Brill. However, Mara is perhaps the brightest star of all in this talented troupe, shining so for having created an evening that is nothing less than a cleansing breath of fresh air in the Kandra and Ebb songbook. And the show plays through October 14th, and for tickets, you call 323-462-8460 or visit actorscoop.org.
So it's not a review per se. There's a narrative that sort of takes you from A to B, a little story. You said set in a diner or something?
The story is coming to you lyrically. The setting is in the diner, in a diner.
Oh, okay.
But very, it's hard to express.
That sounds great.
Express. I think more traditionally this show would be done in more concert style and perhaps a little more elegant. I know it was done that way on Broadway, I think.
Right.
Yes. Off Broadway, excuse me, David Sang. Yeah. Okay. So, and it received wonderful reviews then, but this is, you know, through the years. That was back in the mid-90s, and through the years, it's kind of been, you know, we hear a lot of Kandra and Ebb, so
oh.
I think it's important for people to see this, especially new young singers and actors entering the musical theater to see some of these amazing songs, but in this fresh light that Roberts put them in.
No, it sounds wonderful.
So it was a terrific terrific weekend of theater. Yeah.
Good. Good.
So we are off and running.
Yeah, let's introduce the next guest we have in studio.
Please.
Who is, we are just, thank you for your patience. And our next guest is a 2011 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado's Musical Theater Program, speaking of which. Recent theater credits include the Hollywood Bowl's 2012 summer production of Mel Blanc's The Producers, the Robert Bridegroom at ICT in Long Beach, and he's currently starring opposite our first guest, Adam Huss, in Just in Love, which is opening tomorrow night, as we mentioned, September 21st, at Hollywood's Celebration Theater. Please welcome Tyler Ladon. I'm just happy there's not two C's in your last
name.
Yeah,
it's not too much.
You got that right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, of course. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So we sort of got a little bit of the tale of the story. Tell us about your character in this and who you're playing.
Well, I play the character of Chris Andrews, who is a publicist assistant here in Los Angeles, just recently moved from Michigan, where he attended Michigan State University, and came out because he wanted to be a writer, and got a job with a very big PR firm in Los Angeles that whose major client is Justin Rush, played by Adam. And actually, the first major event that he has, he meets Justin at, or at least locks eyes with him from across the red carpet. And
oh, that's his first.
That's
like
first
his first
major
gig.
Event that he has with the PR agency. Yes.
Okay.
He starts up there as a temp and then sort of moves his way in there. And then and from there, everything just starts to spiral, and they a few chance encounters because of the PR job putting him in places where he normally wouldn't be, where Justin actually is what kind of gets their whole story going. And I don't want to give too much away from that.
No. How early, just out of curiosity, how early in the tale, how early in the show is that meeting between your two characters?
It is in the opening number, actually.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yes. Okay, so
get right
you guys
down to
hit,
business.
Hit the ground running.
Absolutely.
Okay. I was curious about that.
Now, you I mean, you are fresh to Los Angeles, right? I mean,
yeah,
you haven't been out here, but what?
16 months.
16 months.
Yes.
And is this your first important role here?
As far as...
I know you did The Bowl, which
roles,
was amazing.
Yes, I did The Bowl, yeah. But it was, you know, like you said, ensemble. And I worked on The Robber Bridegroom at ICT, which was a supporting role, but not a lead role. So, yeah, this is pretty much my first major role out of college.
And David, from a casting perspective, how was it a huge call? Was it a difficult thing to cast? I know you probably had something, being a co-writer, very specific in mind for each of these characters, right?
It was. I mean, the thing about Tyler was he actually did two of our readings prior to this production, so he was actually a different character. In the first reading, he played a character called Donovan, and then the second reading, he did Chris, and then pretty much after that, it was we were sold on him and we're thrilled to have him part of the show.
Nice.
Do readings.
Very nice.
There's a lesson in that.
Yes,
do readings.
Yes.
Do the readings. Yes. See, because you network and you meet people and they see how good you are. And more importantly, because I found this through Seaglass, you find the people that you want to work with because they're good people.
That's right.
Especially with a new project like this, you have to really like the people that you're working with because you're not just performing a show, you're building a show together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I just did my soapbox there.
Okay. No, I concur. Paul is the general manager of a wonderful theater company here in Los Angeles called Seaglass Theater, which is getting ready to do... A show for the holidays?
Yes, a Christmas twist.
Christmas twist.
And the great Dickens spoof we did a number of years ago in Chicago, so we're dusting it off and bringing it up.
Say on the promotional cards, they're going to twist
your Dickens, yes. This Christmas, we're twisting your Dickens. Although we found out something interesting. We found out that at Center Theater Group is doing this other thing called A Christmas Carol, Twist Your Dickens.
Oh, really?
Now, our show is called A Christmas Twist, so it doesn't affect our title.
Right.
It's just our tagline.
Right.
But it's nice to know that the tagline that I came up with is the tagline that Center Theater Group probably paid thousands of dollars to some marketing company.
And they
to
haven't
arrive
got your bill yet.
What? They haven't got mine yet. Or my subpoena. No. No, there's plenty of holiday shows for everyone.
Speaking of Dickens, yes. Okay.
So now, how do you like living in Los Angeles? So how you've been 16 months, you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm in my second.
You're practically a native.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I moved into an apartment with a few friends from school last year, and then I moved into a house just recently, actually in July, the beginning of July, which was right when I was starting Producers at the Bowl. And then just a month before we started this one. So it's kind of been a hectic ride for the last 2 months or so.
Yeah.
Just really, you know, changing locations, getting involved with both of those productions.
What did you think of performing at the Hollywood Bowl?
It was, I mean, an unbelievable experience. It probably the one and only time that I'll ever be able to do a musical for 17,000 people at one time.
Wow.
But it's just incredible walking out from behind that set and seeing those people up there, and the feeling you get from that audience is amazing. And it also speaks volumes to what we're doing now, which, you know, the Celebration is only a 64-seat house.
Oh.
And early on we were joking. I was joking with the director, and he was saying, you know, this isn't the Bowl. And I said, well, it's completely different. It's, you know, working with such an intimate space brings so much more out of the characters and things that you wouldn't necessarily have to portray in such a large venue as the Hollywood Bowl, because it's so minute and
right.
You can't see it.
Right.
In the Celebration Theater, everything is picked up, everything is seen, and so you have to really be who it is that you are on the stage, and you can't just, you know, put on a facade, which is kind of the whole story of this entire show.
You also don't have the comfort factor of that removal. You don't have that distance from the audience. You don't have that sort of everything coming through, you know, mics and everything, even though whether you're mic'd in a small venue or not. But that's one of the reasons I love to see musicals in small theaters and intimate theaters.
I do too.
It is. It's just there's not only the joy of seeing it in the small space, but there's also the fact that, as is always the case with live theater, what happens in that room is only shared by 64 people, and that will never be duplicated. It will always, that evening is theirs.
That's
and
right.
I think especially with something like this, which obviously I would imagine has just from what you've described, very, very poignant moments and very powerful moments. And to see that, you know, across the room is just that much more powerful for the theater.
And it's
goer.
A charming theater, excuse me, that's very well run. You've been there before,
haven't
you?
Yes, oh yes, Celebration, sure. Yeah.
Excuse me. I wanted to ask you one other question about the bowl. You worked with a young man by the name of David Michael Laffey.
Absolutely, yes.
Who also is from a competition that I produce every year called which Kerry St. Louis is also.
Right, yeah. I actually met Kerry through David.
Oh, you did?
More or less. I was talking to David on one of our last nights of producers, and I was telling him about this project that I was moving to, and he said, I think I know one of your co-stars. And he and Kerry had just worked on The Fix down at ICT.
Yes,
so that's what.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, he's a wonderful young man and a terrific talent, and I'm thrilled that you had a chance to work with him and he with you, and that you're in something so interesting as this. And what do you have now? You're here not only to do theater in Los Angeles, but you obviously must have another agenda of doing television, film. Any actor would, right?
Absolutely.
And how is that going?
Do they do that here too?
They do.
Really? Yeah. Film and television?
Yeah.
It's sort of an up-and-coming thing. It's not really.
Have you been in for Glee or anything like that?
Nothing like that so far. I'm really working on getting my foot in the door in a lot of ways that way. When I came out here, I immediately signed with an agency for theatrical representation.
Good.
And so that's what's really gotten me moving in this world as far as theater goes, but not necessarily the case in TV and film yet. So I'm starting to move up with that. Hopefully maybe something will come from this or from any other projects that I'm working on.
Well, you'll certainly have a lot of eyes on this, that's for sure, on this show. If nothing more than because it's a David Elzer production with Peter, you know. So that's the greatest thing you could be doing. Right
and
now.
To I'm our sure listeners, you. We can let them know how it can be their eyes that are watching this thing just by going to Celebration Theater. That was a labored segue, wasn't it?
It was.
Wow. As soon as that was out of my mouth, I was like, oh, man. That
sounded
was
better in your head.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's a long walk for the store to be closed, let me tell you. CelebrationTheater.com. That's theater with the R-E spelling to purchase tickets for Justin Love. And you can also call 323-957-1884. That's 323-957-1884 to purchase tickets. This is opening this Friday and Saturday.
Tomorrow?
Well, performance. It's opening tomorrow, but performances for the run are Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2. And Celebration Theater is 7051B Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles.
See this?
Yes.
It's a great looking card, isn't it?
It is a great looking
card. And Michael Lamont did the photography on this. And I'm just mentioning his name because look at it very carefully.
Well, okay.
Look at the picture of Adam in his character.
Okay.
What do you see?
What, you mean in the sunglasses?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I see another person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very cool, isn't it?
No, it's very stylized. I only wish that our listeners could see this.
Yes.
For a radio show.
I'm trying to be explained it graphically.
But if you go to CelebrationTheater.com, I'm
you
sure
see
this very attractive card
it
will be
the
there.
Photo, so.
So it's the cover photo on the page. No, it's very, very, it's a beautiful design. Very well done.
Yeah, I think
well
the great thing about the musical, too, is in the previews, we learned that there was a lot of women that hung around after and were just so touched by the love story that's there, you know? And there are three different love stories in the show, but they just were, some of them were weeping about it. So that was a beautiful thing, because I think that's what we've all accomplished, and what David and Lori and Michael helped bring together, is that it's this universal story of love,
sure.
You know? And, and isn't it about time that that love is first, you know, and love makes everything okay.
That's a good point.
I believe in that.
Good point to bring up, though,
right.
Because a mistake a lot of people make is they think that because a particular show has a theme or a subject matter that is going to be the complete population of the audience, and that is not always the case.
No, not at all.
I found that very much with my show, with the solo show that I did.
Yes.
We got everyone for that, and
you're right. Well, everyone can relate to that show.
Yeah, you know.
Paul did a wonderful show called...
It predates the whole metrosexual thing. It was called Straight Up With a Twist, and it's about a guy who's a misfit, and it was before all of that, because it was written...
Tell him the tagline. I love the tagline.
The world's a cruel place when you're a straight guy with good taste and a great eye for color.
Yeah.
And that was the subject matter, and we thought that it would be, you know, just, you know, metrosexual types who attended, and no, it was I thought of it because of the comment that you made about the women, because they would bring their husbands, and they would
would bring their coworkers. No, there's another man in my life who's like this, another man who is like this. So, but it's good to hear that this has, obviously this has a broad appeal if it's already selling out. I'm referencing the card, listeners. I'm holding it up. So I'm doing.
I think that's the great thing about the celebration, too, is they do a lot of, they don't just stick to gay content. If there is gay content in there, there's always a great story behind it.
Absolutely. Reliant just, on that. If it flavors the story, that's one thing, but it's not, you know, they're not, you know, soapboxing.
They
had an amazing run with the color purple.
Right, exactly.
Just about to say that.
All those nominations.
It was spectacular, and I think Allie Willis couldn't have been probably more proud. I think she said it was one of her favorite productions of it. Allie, who wrote the show.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Allie Willis, she'd been on our show.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Wrote all the wonderful music. Yeah. You know, gentlemen, we're coming to the end of the program, and there's something that we do.
We always like to do this.
We love to do this because we kind of baptize you, if we will, into being a State of the Arts guest. And we're going to ask you to recall in your careers any awkward or embarrassing moments that you may have had or endured, whether it be on stage or on a television show or in a movie. Something that really sticks out in your mind. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily have to be humorous.
Don't, if either of you don't have one, we can begin with one that we know. You know, Michael's story of Bye Bye Birdie. Just saying.
Are you thinking? Are you chewing on this?
Yeah, you tell us that, and then we'll come up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Sorry. Come on, Michael. You got a minute.
First job in the theater, you know, Bye Bye Birdie, and I kind of grew up in that show for 3 years, and we played all over the country, and we were doing it with Jerry Van Dyke, who was Dick Van Dyke's younger brother, out at a very big theater here called the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium, which in those particular days, this beautiful theater, which the Academy Awards used to come from, was converted to a theater in the round. Do you know that? Do you remember that? So, because the theater in the round was such a big deal in California and throughout other parts of the country. At any rate, 3,000 seats in the round. You've done Birdie, so you know. Have you ever seen it?
I have not.
There is a change early on in the show from the kids of New York. And the transition is to becoming the kids of Sweet Apple, Ohio, as they're waving goodbye to the Elvis Presley character named Conrad Birdie. And during this change, which had to happen in on stage for us, we underdressed. So we were in the New York clothes, and then we underdressed in the Sweet Apple, Ohio clothes. And what would happen to certain people, such as myself, is that there would be dressers running on stage in a strobe light. Now, this was all taking place in about 30 seconds. A strobe light, and they were pulling things off of you and revealing the Sweet Apple clothes underneath and handing you a flag, an American flag as well. So when the lights came up and Conrad was arriving in Sweet Apple, everyone was cheering like crazy, screaming, and the orchestra going. And I looked down, and I was standing there in my dance belt and a really nice red sweater, and you know, that was how I greeted that scene with 3,000 people around me.
Sweet apples.
The people on one side of the theater got
sweet apples,
an extra
the big
something
apple.
For their ticket that night. But mortified.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes.
Mortified. And you know what, I couldn't really do anything about it, and the scene was you know, I had to find that moment when to leave the stage and try to hold my head up, because it wasn't easy to leave the stage. You had to go up an aisle and you had to go past the audience. So, that was one of my worst things. Now,
either of you?
Adam.
Do you have what? Well, I guess this didn't happen to me per se, but I was in the scene, so I could. It was pretty funny. We were in. It could have been horrible, actually, but I was in college. We were doing a production of Romeo and Juliet, and this body and movement teacher, her name was Anne Brady, she directed it, and she did an impressionistic take on Romeo and Juliet. And I was Tybalt, and in the big scene where Romeo and Juliet meet in the ball, she had this giant headed man dancing, like a moon head or something. And he was doing this dance.
That is inventive.
It's very inventive. During the courting scene. And there was a pit, and it went very, very deep. And right in the middle of, like, when I see Romeo and I'm, like, you know, I'm about to kick him out of there for flirting with Juliet, the big-headed man went forward, and the head was so heavy that I saw him teetering, and I'm like, oh, and he fell into the pit.
Oh.
I mean, he just fell, and it was like probably 6 feet down, maybe more.
Wow.
And we all went, whoa! You know, we ran forward, broke out of character, looked down, and his big old head was stuck between like the two walls and his feet, so it saved him, the head, so he didn't hit the ground. He was just stuck. Yeah. So we just went on with the scene,
and
then
a lot of people don't know the original title was Romeo and the Big Headed Man.
They don't know that, right? Yeah. She had the lost documents, you know.
Oh, Tyler,
can you do one in 1 minute?
I do have one. Okay. It'll be quick. So I did a show in college as well called Assassins, and I was playing Leon Czolgosz, and there's this whole scene, the Ballad of Czolgosz, where he's taking his time at the in Buffalo, New York, at the I can't even remember what it's called, but William McKinley's there making a speech, and Czolgosz is the man who attempted murder on William McKinley and actually succeeded hours later because he was saved. But there's this whole scene in slow motion where I'm walking from a corner of the stage. It's in a round theater, and just very slowly with a gun under my handkerchief, and McKinley's over in the corner, and it just very slowly, everything slows down, and I slowly raise my gun, and right before I pull the trigger, this old woman sitting right over here in the corner screams no at me as loud as she possibly can, just right at the beat of the song. I froze. I didn't know what to do. I pulled the trigger, the gunshot went off, but I was looking straight at her while I'm supposed to be killing the president. And I turned around and I left all the way across the stage. I walked off, and that was it.
I'm really sorry, miss, but I'm not going to alter history.
I have to do this, actually. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's not my choice.
Oh, man.
Alter history.
Really. Gentlemen, what a pleasure to have you.
A pleasure. And David, thank you for joining us. A pleasure to have you.
Absolutely, David Elzer. And to see this wonderful show one more time, Just in Love, at the Celebration Theater in Hollywood. It officially opens tomorrow, Friday, September 21st. And The World Goes Round at the Crossley Theater in Hollywood. Make a point of going out supporting theater in this town.
Love theater. Yes.
Paul, thank
you.
Yes,
we do. Michael, always a pleasure to share the microphone with you.
Thank
you,
sir.
And we'll see you next week.
On the radio.
Thank you.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.